it matters to you, let us know. Contact us now, 1850 400 964 or email focus@clare.fm.
You're welcome back to the programme. A new report from Retail Ireland's revealed that Christmas just gone saw the highest ever of online sales for the festive season. Up to 70% of online sales are to company outside of Ireland. And Retail Ireland is warning that the large commercial days such as Black Friday, Cyber Monday and more are sucking sales and money out of this country in favour of the UK and other international firms and other countries, of course, as well. Thomas Burke joins us from Retail Ireland. Good morning to you, Tom.
Good morning, Gavin.
And thank you very much for joining us. A continuation of a trend, I would suggest. You've been seeing this for some time now.
We have, but I think what's most startling about this year's numbers in terms of Christmas 2017, and indeed the full year 2017, is the rate of pickup in terms of online transactions. We saw about 1.3 billion spent online by Irish consumers in the month of December alone. That's an increase of about 15%, Gavin, on the Christmas the previous year. So quite quickly we're seeing Irish consumers switch away. That's driven by a few things as well. It's driven by what's happened to sterling and in terms of the value piece, and sure, that's a real challenge for Irish retailers. But it's also that Irish consumers are more comfortable now in the online space and making purchases and transactions than ever before.
And so much of that then goes abroad because, well, potentially people feel they can get better value from some of the international chains. Those international chains, the likes of your Amazons, etc., what people think of as well when you're online shopping. It's posing a big challenge to retailers in Ireland. Can they compete, I guess, is my question.
Yeah, they can, and I think they need to be creative in terms of how they compete. It's certainly a challenge, and you know, I don't want to be glib or dismiss it as a challenge. It is going to be difficult for certain Irish retailers to step up to the plate in this regard, but I think what they have to do is differentiate themselves from, I guess, the mass-produced volume-based retailing that goes on by organisations such as Amazon, and try and offer their consumers a little bit of their own personality through their online store, or trying to utilise digital marketing in a new way. And that can be done at every level. It doesn't have to be a transactional website. It doesn't have to be the website with all the bells and whistles. It's just a creative way of having a conversation with your consumer. And Irish retailers are really good at that. You know, they're really good at engaging their consumers when they're in their stores. So I suppose what we're saying to Irish retailers is you need to get better at doing that in the online world and to carve out a niche for yourself and carve out an online personality that can engage with those consumers.
Okay, stay with us, Tom. Mary Kelly joins us in studio as well. She's a news agent here in Ennis, based on O'Connell Street. Good morning to you, Mary.
Good morning, Gavin.
Thank you very much for joining us on the programme this morning. Are you seeing, do you think, evidence, or maybe because the shoppers are buying online, maybe not seeing the evidence in terms of those people not being in the high street or on O'Connell Street as it was in the run-up to Christmas? Are retailers in town feeling this in the pocket?
Certainly the retailers are feeling it. And not just the retailers, I think people throughout the whole country are going to feel it, because if we look at the bigger picture, 1.3 billion went out of this country to other economies in the month of December alone. So the VAT intake for our government is low, so the taxes will go higher. The jobs are not there. I suppose the biggest thing that I've seen out of online shopping is that the student jobs, the Saturday jobs, the, you know, people looking for experience.
Summer work,
that's a thing of the past. The only place people can get summer work now, thankfully, is in the hospitality industry. But the days of shops being able to take on people, and that was always an experience. It just kept the cycle going, and my biggest problem with it is, and I'm delighted that Tom is promoting that people will do more interaction with their customers. We've always done that, but I think it's more important than ever now, because we have a whole generation out there that have never experienced choosing, forming their own niche and making the decision on the touch, the feel, the look. That's one thing. It's the social interaction, and as well as that, we're talking about people spending most of their free time on computers and on phones. This is just another one of those very insular things that people are alone, and they're losing that the whole experience of shopping. And I can understand why people are going online. Of course I can.
That's what I was going to say. They're making the choice to do all of this at the same time.
Oh, they're making
like they're
the
getting
choice.
Better value, presumably, by bigger buying
choice,
the phone or their
bigger choice. Bigger choice, definitely. And I can see it myself. Things that I may not have been able to access for various events that I have to go online. But I would just like for people to be a little bit more aware. And I think back in the last number of years where we became more aware of our recycling and our green habits. Mm. And now it's second nature to us. We are making the choice. And I would like that the generation that's coming up would make that choice and not be blown away by bloggers and by this really expensive online.
Kind of marketing and
it's very addictive. It is very addictive, and it is great. You get great bargains, and it's very nice to sit inside at home and not get wet going out into the shops. But we really must look at the bigger picture. We're throwing money out of the country at a time when we need it.
I mentioned earlier during our paper review, the Irish Examiner highlights the closure of a bookshop which had been operating in Cork. I believe it's over 100 years. You're nodding. You know the story.
I know the story.
And you know what, you've heard that story before, not in Russell's in Cork,
that's
but
right.
In other places. And is that not just the progression of time, though, at the same time?
But, you know, I do feel that we've lost a lot in Ireland. Thankfully, in our entertainment and in our music and our traditional music, we've maintained it by people working hard at keeping that alive. And I think we need to keep some of our traditions alive. The individual bookshops, the individual boutiques, just that whole experience. We cannot be throwing the baby out with bathwater. It's the bigger picture, as I keep saying, that we have to look at. We're going to end up like every high street in every town and city all over Europe, with no individual, independently owned and run units.
And I'm nodding because I've seen that in England. I've been to different towns, kind of decent sized towns.
That's right.
A bit bigger.
That's
They're all the exact same in the centre. Tom, how do we avoid that? I'm sure you'll agree with much of what Mary has said, but you're fighting a very big battle.
It is a serious battle, and it's a serious battle for the sustainability of the Irish retail sector going forward. That's how real and that's how stark the challenge is for Irish retail over the next few years. I'd absolutely agree with Mary. I think there's two elements to this. The first piece is consumer awareness. I'd absolutely agree with her sentiments there in terms of consumers taking a step back and understanding the impact in terms of their own local communities. And the feedback, you know, the Irish retail sector is the largest employer in the state at over 280,000 people employed in every town and village around the country. And, you know, we're like no other sector in that regard in terms of our spatial distribution around the country. But I think also the second piece is that government have a very significant role to play here as well. Currently, bricks and mortar retailers carry all of the costs of retailing within the state. Mm. So things like local authority rates, insurance premiums, etc., government mandated minimum wage levels, etc., all need to be considered in the round in terms of who the Irish retail sector is competing with, because they're not competing with a store down the road. They're competing with warehouses in the UK who have a significantly different cost base and a significant advantage in that respect as well. And I think it's time government sat down with the industry and had a mature conversation about what is the future for our sector, where are we headed, what do we want to do in terms of the future of Irish retail, and how do we see it panning out, because this is a sustainability challenge not only for the Irish retail sector but also, as Mary rightly points out, to the government exchequer in terms of tax take.
Tom, thanks for joining us. Tom Burke there from Retail Ireland. On a local level, Mary, is there anything that needs to be done or can be done? I mean, Ennis has got two fantastic accolades recently with the cleanest town and the friendliest town of Ireland. There's one way you can hopefully, you know,
we can take on that. But I have to say that in a survey that we did a few years ago, Ennis had the highest amount of independently owned and run retail outlets of any town of its size in the country. Now, I think we can really, really build on that, and it cannot be built on if we don't get the support of our locality. But
do you not have concerns that people want to go to those chains as well?
Of course they do. Of course they do. But there's room for both. I saw it in the States in the 80s, where everybody left the small towns. They left the butcher, the baker, you know, the small boutique, to go to Walmart and to go to the malls. Mm. And that became quite it was entertainment, it was recreation, people did at weekends. Now, I can see that the shift came back in the late 90s in the UK, in the UK and in the States, for the unique shops. And really, it's the one thing that I hear from people when they come into my shop. If they're visitors, they just love the uniqueness of it. They love the idea that they're going into a boutique that the lady who owns it is there chatting to them, and that she's able to say, well, I can get that for you. I can get it in 5 sizes. You can try it, you know. And it's the interaction and it's the relationships that are built. And we are very lucky in Ennis. We are really very lucky that we have such a unique mix of individual shops, and I would hope that people will build on that, and we can only build on that if we get the support, and so far we haven't been badly supported.
So finally then, really, really briefly, because I'm already over time, are you optimistic then in spite of these challenges for Ennis?
I am optimistic. I'm optimistic in Ennis, very much so, and in County Clare, because there's a great sense of community and a great sense of support from the community, and I think Ennis and County Clare in general can survive this.
We'll talk again. Mary Kelly, thanks for joining us this morning.
Morning Focus, in association with Shannon Airport. Fly Shannon and pack more into your day with up to 38 departures each week to London. Explore more today on shannonairport.ie.